He tossed the old filter in the garbage. He was about to grab the fresh engine oil when he heard the front door to the house slam shut across the field. Elhouse walked out the barn doors. He had to squint to see at night. Gertie was walking across the backyard, heading toward the woods behind the house.
"Gertie, where in God's name are you going?" he said, a half shout.
She didn't seem to have heard him. He noticed something else, too. She wasn't limping. Her gait was slow and steady, if she had a gait at all. The nightgown hung so low, it covered her feet, sweeping over the grass. She looked like an apparition gliding through the night. Elhouse blinked hard twice. Then he called to her again, but once more was met with silence. He glanced up at the bedroom window. The light was still on. Then back at his wife, as she moved farther away from the porch light and was slowly swallowed up by the dark. The moon made her look as though she were faintly glowing, or maybe it wasn't the moon at all. He rubbed his eyes, convinced the strange aura he was seeing around her was due to his cataracts and nothing more. Dr. Barrett told him that might happen, that he might see halos, especially at night. This was the first time he had actually noticed it, though. Elhouse started after her, a fast-paced walking stride. She was a good 100 feet ahead of him.
"Hold on now. Wait a second," he said.
Gertie kept moving until she reached the tree line. She stopped and stood motionless on the fringe of the woods. Elhouse came up a moment later. He stopped 10 feet away from her. A shallow stream that ran along their backyard acted as a barrier between his property and the town's woods. The water separated him from his wife. Somehow she had managed to get on the other side of it.
"What are you doing up and about?" he asked, catching his breath. "You're supposed to be in bed. You walked through the damn stream?"
She didn't answer. Her back was still toward him, and for some reason, he was scared for her to turn around. Whatever was there, whatever he would see when she did, would not be her. He knew this in a deep place inside, but he couldn't bring himself to believe the instinct, and so he wrote it off as something conjured up by his imagination. Still, the idea had legs, and it was starting to take hold. A sense of unreality washed over him, and the cold jaws of terror were reaching up from his subconscious and starting to bite down on the back of his neck. His palms were prickly. His mouth was going dry. A warning siren started to wail inside his head, but he ignored it. Suddenly, the entire moment had the feel of some bizarre dream.
"What on earth are you looking at? Ain't nothing out there, Gert," he said,
his voice taking on an unsure tone. He stepped down to the stream. Cold water rode up over his boots, soaking the bottoms of his pant legs. He watched his wife's back the whole time, unable to explain why he was approaching her the same timid and cautious way he might a dangerous animal.
"Hey, are you okay?" he asked. But what he really meant was, "Is that really you? Say something, anything, so I know it's you."
He looked her up and down. It was hard to tell for sure in the dark, but he didn't notice any water on the bottom of her nightgown. He dismissed it. She probably just lifted it as she went across. No big mystery there.
"Come on, dear," he said,
reaching out to touch his wife's arm, as if doing so would ground the strangeness of the situation and end it all. But there was nothing to grip. His hand passed right through a frigid space, and when it did, the thing that looked like Gertie finally turned and faced him.